this meeting. I just want to show for the record members, can we have your attention, please, that we needed to relocate. We are now located in 17 HOB Morris Hall because we had technical difficulties with the room that we just came from. But we're all here. So the Senate redistrict meeting is now going to continue, and I want to, for the record, recognize Mr. Miros to continue with his presentation. You're recognized.
Thank you. And am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Before I go into the racial protections in a little bit more depth, and I will be brief for the remainder of this, I wanted to point out two issues that Amendments 5 and 6 do not address, nor do they require. And that is, neither of these address proportionate representation, equal number of Democrats versus Republicans or independents. It says nothing whatsoever about that a district should have a particular percentage of political population. It also does not address or require in any way or an assessment of how a district performs politically in a non-minority area. Performance in a minority area is relevant under the racial protections, but not in non-minority areas. Now, let's talk a minute about what the actual protections are, the racial protections are under Amendments 5 and 6. Based upon the language of these amendments, the statements of intent of the framers, and their most recent presentations to the Department of Justice in response to the legislature's preclearance submissions, it is now clear that the protections in 5 and 6 are intended to enhance minority voting rights beyond what amendments of what Section 2 and the Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act require. More specifically with regard to traditional Section 2 issues, this legislature under this language will either have the discretion or perhaps in certain instances the obligation to draw districts with minority population of less than 50%, though the federal law does not require the drawing of a minority district if its population is less than 50%.
Can I just stop you one moment? Members, yeah. I want to remind you that you can be looking behind tab E in your notebook, because we're not going to be able to put that up on the screens. So you need to look at the paperwork that you have. Thank you. I'm sorry. You can continue.
That's quite right. Now going to Section 5, which is generally known as the retrogression standard. Presently, Florida, that standard applies in 5 counties in Florida. It does not apply statewide. Generally speaking, and very broadly speaking, what retrogression means is you take a look at the baseline map, the 2000 map, and you apply 2012 population to that map, and you assess to that district and assess whether that district drawn 10 years later has in any way weakened the ability of the minority population to participate in the electoral process. Have they backslid in any way? It is, and all Section 5 requires is the absence of backsliding. It does not require affirmative action if there has not been a retrogression or a diminution of political power in those districts. Amendments 5 and 6 apply that standard statewide to all 67 counties, which again is a significant enhancement to racial protections. Very briefly, the issue of compactness is one that you will have to grapple with, and compactness does not have any one particular definition, one particular standard. It will be a fact-specific case-by-case analysis, in my view. There are some mathematical standards by which one can assess compactness. I won't go into those right now, but they are available for all of you. But the case law is just as clear that there is no one standard, geometric or otherwise, to assess compactness. And let me just briefly read from a decision out of a federal district court about that very issue. and I'll quote, compactness does not refer to geometric shapes, but to the ability of citizens to relate to each other and their representatives, and to the ability of representatives to relate effectively to their constituency. So in addition to looking at the aesthetics of a district, whether the district looks like a circle or looks like a square, you also have to consider where you are in a given state, where you are in a given population, how do the people relate to each other in that area. Florida being a longitudinal state, I would suggest, with a lot of coastline, I would suggest that a long district elongated among beach area may well be compact when one considers numerous factors. In other instances, it might not be compact, but I would suggest to you it will be a fact-specific analysis that you will have to balance among the other standards in this. Last issue, what does nearly as equal in population as practicable mean? For purposes of drawing the State House and the State Senate district, practicable means that you can have a greater deviation from the ideal population number than in a congressional map. It does, in congressional map, that deviation has to be as nearly to zero as possible, plus or minus one or two people. I think in 2000, the deviation in the state map was around 2.8%. That sort of deviation typically is clearly appropriate or acceptable depending on other circumstances. But it is important to understand that that population deviation is different between the state and the congressional standards. With that, I'll conclude unless there's any questions.
All right, thank you very much for your presentation. Let's see if we have any questions. Members' questions? Yes, Representative Williams? A. Williams, I'm sorry.
If that helps me, if that helps get more bills passed, I'll take it. On page 9, on slide 9, you said, where feasible, utilize existing political and geographical boundaries. Just kind of puzzled about when you say political boundaries. How do you have a political boundary?
You recognize.
There is no clear definition, but a political boundary could be a municipality. It could be a county. It could be a taxing district. Any number of things like that.
Follow up. Go ahead, please.
Where is that language specifically found? Where it says, is that just redistricting jargon, lingo? Where is that found?
Recognize.
Excuse me. Forgive me. I can't point you to one particular definition of political boundary. I don't think there is one in Florida law. I think I may have looked at that before. But if you look at political boundaries or political lines, and everyone else does, you Google that sort of thing, you will find a common understanding of lines that are drawn or lines that are comprised of people organizing themselves in one fashion or another is a political boundary. To my knowledge, it is not ever intended to be a political boundary, meaning a big R or big D boundary.
Follow up? No? All right, members, any other questions? All right, thank you very much. Well, let's see what time it is. Yes, we've got a little bit of time. I'm going to ask Alex Kelly and Ben Fairbrother to give us a brief overview of My District Builder and some of the other outreach resources that were discussed earlier. So, Mr. Kelly, you are recognized.
Madam Chair, thank you. And thank you for your patience with us getting the computer back and going. The computer, despite everybody's smooth transition down here, the computer did not like the move. But what you're looking at on the screen, what Ben has just pulled up for you, and actually just for your reference too, members, as you go through the process of working with your constituents, perhaps preparing talking points to speak with a constituent group, Ben Fairbrother, his primary task is to help with those types of initiatives. Outreach, Representative Williams, the couple of suggestions you gave earlier, Ben will be contacting them today, so please feel free to contact him directly if you need help communicating with any constituents. But to the screen, you're looking at My District Builder. as was shown in the slides before. And currently, just to give you an example, you're looking at Senate District 20. We pulled up the Senate map for you since that's what you'll be working with. Senate District 20 is a great example. Ben, if you could maybe scroll down on the data grid to the numbers for Senate District 20. Senate District 20 is about 100,000 Floridians over population. So it's a prime example of the basic task that you must accomplish in redistricting, which is to balance that out. If you do nothing else to Senate District 20, you must find places for those 105,000 Floridians, other districts for them to go into. But anyway, just to give you a quick tour of the site, of course you'll do the tutorial next week. The top of the page, you see the file, the view, help, and menus. Menus are familiar probably with any other program that you might utilize. For example, under the Contact Us menu, a person could access our YouTube site, where it is that they could look at the different tutorial videos. The one menu that's unique is the Build menu, of course, where you find the different tools by which you'll build with My District Builder, and we'll teach you the details of those next week. Under the File menu, that is where you would start a new plan, save a plan. We recommend saving early, saving often, backing up your plans. As we noted earlier, the house does not have access to the plans that you're designing on your computer. So if you're designing a plan or your constituent is, save it, back that information up, because we don't have any way to recover that if you should happen to have a computer issue. But you'll file new, save, open, all right there. The tab that says Reports is not functional yet, but what it will be, it'll be an exciting feature to My District Builder, which will be a way that you could launch a report of your choice of any of the 12,000 some odd data points in the American Community Survey or the Census to compare the districts you're drawing and how those data points mesh up. So if, for example, you wanted to see the concentration of veterans of the armed services in all the districts or certain districts that you've created, you could do that. So, and in that way, the site actually has a benefit beyond redistricting, just for research purposes. We think many people will use the report features. But coming back to the left side of the screen, halfway down, maybe Ben, thank you so much. What Ben just did was you can expand and contract any of the menus on My District Builder. So if you're not using certain features, you can hide them or at least minimize them. But what Ben has showed you there, unfolded there on the left, are the different layers of geography through which you can view the District Builder. So if you want to view, somewhat to your question, Representative Williams, if you want to view by county boundary lines, city boundary lines, if you want to view by the current district boundary lines, you're free to do that. However, whatever references you may need, if you wanted to build a plan that focused on municipal boundary lines, you could do that. A practical example of where that may come into play is, as you're building a plan, you need to perhaps add an additional 5,000 Floridians into a map. You may decide, well, you have to cross a county boundary line, but you'll do so in a way where you tightly hug the city boundary lines in the next county, either in the city or out of the city. So you might use these features if you want to see the map by census blocks, by voting districts. You could do all those things. Ben, if you can minimize that map and then expand the map on the right side of the screen, or expand the menu. What Ben's showing you here are the different census and American Community Survey data points, and you can look at the map two different ways. You can look at the map either by just the top half of that, what Ben's clicking through now, placing the raw value or the percentage value into a unit of census geography, either a county, a census block, or a voting district. Or you can view that same information in a shaded theme map where, as you see, a more red concentration of information, it would show you that there's a higher number of whatever group you're interested in. If you're interested in seeing where racial or ethnic minorities may happen to live, or if you're interested in seeing where perhaps there's a concentration of owned or rented homes, any data that's in the American Community Survey or the census. On the bottom of the screen, you see the data grid, which we kind of mentioned before, in regards to first and foremost where you see your population deviation. That's where you identify how much at minimum a district needs to change just to meet the equal population requirements that were mentioned, I believe, last week in Mr. DeGrande's presentation. And so that you see the district number, you'll see the deviation from what the ideal population is, and then you'll see the population of the district as it exists today. And with that, that's my district builder. Ben, why don't you open up FloridaRedistricting.org.
Representative, you recognize for question.
One quick question. For example, especially down in like South Florida, we have a heavy concentration a Haitian population. What would that be categorized under? Would that be categorized under West Indies? I'm not knowing how do we find that population segment.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, exactly as you just categorized it, the great feature of the American Community Survey is that it breaks down those categories into West Indies, into other categories. So, for instance, even if you were in the Orlando area and you wanted to distinguish between communities like Puerto Rican communities and other Hispanic communities, you could do exactly that, and it'll identify those in the district builder, in the data grid, or in the layers there that Ben's scrolling through on the right. So either way, you could identify that information.
Quick follow-up.
Where would I find
the Haitian population percentages? Would that be under West Indies, or what? I'm just trying to figure out what that would be.
You recognize.
You can recognize Bob West if it's possible.
Yes, absolutely. You are recognized.
Yeah, you would look at the West Indies, and we picked West Indies because it's all the groups from that area. It's a little bit bigger group than just the Haitian. And so that you would look under West Indies, and you could do the percentages, or you could do the total population.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, just to a note to Chair Weatherford, or whoever, maybe that's something that we should probably point out as we put out information, to let groups know, because I know as heritage and culture, they're probably a little bit more sensitive. They say, I'm a Haitian, I want to see, you know, we may need to get ahead of that now if we only have it broken down by West Indies or what have you, just to kind of alleviate any concerns or folks thinking that they're not being included in all the information.
Thank you. Go ahead.
And to that point, we can definitely, in instructional materials that we create, Madam Chair, we can, and Representative Williams, we can prioritize how it is that a person would get to that sort of information. So
Good. That's
absolutely
okay.
Definitely something we can do.
You want to continue with the presentation? Mm-hmm.
But just to take a look at FloridaRedistricting.org, and we talked about the site earlier, so we won't go back into all the details, but here on the site, your constituents or you, could sign up for the House's My District Builder email list, which all of your legislative aides are already receiving those emails. As was noted earlier, you can access the District Builder directly from this site. Your constituents can get information that would give them a good introduction to the redistricting process directly here. Scrolling down just a little bit under legislative resources, for example, you'll see the today's presentations, last week's presentations. Scrolling down just a little bit further, under legal resources, you'll see the laws, different state and federal laws that are being cited in these meetings, all right there. You'll see the legislature's preclearance application from March 29th as the first item under legal resources. And under additional resources, Ben, why don't you click on, well, I should highlight page 2 and 3. Those first two links that Ben is showing, that's where the additional information that we covered earlier. We're going to more prominently feature those in the next couple of weeks, but that's where you can access those right now from FloridaRedistricting.org. Ben, why don't you open up page 2? And the site that Ben just pulled up now on the screen, for example, we actually just launched several new tutorials, just revised them. So the most recent post there on the left mentions that those tutorials are available to the public. On the middle of the screen, persons can search the different postings on this site a number of different ways, whatever to their liking. And on the right side of the screen, you see a number of resources. So if you really want to become a scholar in this subject, or if you just want to get a broader perspective, recognizing that there are many different opinions on redistricting, many different resources, many of those resources are included right there. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any of the questions.
Okay, members, do you have any questions? No? All right, thank you very, very much for your presentation. And we're going to do a lot more in-depth on My District Builder next time. So Members, I want to remind you that you either will or should have received an email from Chair Weatherford asking that your computers be brought next week no later than 15 minutes prior to the beginning of the meeting so we can get set up, and anyone that's assisting you in setting up will then be out of the committee room. And with that, I look forward to seeing all of you next week, and Representative Chris Fooey moves we rise.